Go ahead and get your Bibles out and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be looking there for our lesson this evening. That's something that we missed tonight. I know that the Sister Keenan is gone, and I think Keenan and Bretlin and Josh are all gone with her up to Bethel, Tennessee tonight to the meeting. Also, Keena Adams has been sick. She called this morning and told me that she was sick. Not able to be here, and I meant to get those announcements to Larry, but somehow or the other, I didn't see Larry, and I never thought about it when I did see Larry, so I didn't get those to him, but you now have those announcements that I should have already given to him long ago, but it's good to see all of you here tonight. Ephesians chapter 6. As you turn to Ephesians chapter 6, you remember this is where we have Paul giving the armor of God. And in verse 10, he says, "And finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." You know, think about the armor that he talks about we should put on. He reminds us that we ought to put this on. We ought to put on this belt of truth. We ought to put on this breastplate of righteousness. We ought to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why? So that we might go out and tell the good news of Jesus Christ. But involving in this, he says, and above all, taking the shield of faith. Tonight, I want to talk to you about this idea of the shield of faith. And I think it's interesting as we think about the shield of faith that he talks about here, that he says, and above all, take the shield of faith. And then I think it's interesting as we think about what he does here, is he talks about taking the shield of faith. And when I think about this, I think, he's writing to people that understand the Roman army. They understand the armament that they would wear. And so as they would draw this picture, they would have things in their mind. As we do that, we don't maybe see that. What we might see is we might have in our minds a picture of a shield. Where our shield might be maybe a 2 to 3 foot round shield. And it's one that you would hold up like this. And you see, and you kind of think, okay, I'm going to deflect this one. I'm going to deflect that. And that's kind of the way we would look at that, perhaps. That's not the shield that really the Roman army used as he's talking about putting on this armor of God. The armament that they would use would be a shield that would be about 2.5, maybe even 3 feet wide, and then it would be about 4 feet from top to bottom long. Perhaps even I've seen some measurements say that they would be 5 feet. The point would be is that you would be trying to cover from the neck down to the feet. Because you've got to cover the body. You've got to put on everything so that everything is protected and covered. He says, and with this coverment that you've got, that you're going to cover your body. And what you see in the picture I have behind me is basically one of those kinds of shields. It would kind of engulf. It kind of be a round shield that would go around you. And that's what they would wear, is they would prepare themselves to go into army. Well, that's what he is saying here as we talk about the warfare that we are going into, that we need to make sure. I'm not ready for the first point yet. as we go into battle, as we're ready to go into battle and to fight the battle, that we need to be ready to put the armor on, prepare for what we're going to go into. You know, when I think about this, I think we need to understand that what we are doing is we're preparing ourselves above all to live the life of a Christian. And so there are going to be three questions that I want to talk to you about this evening. And this is working before I even pick it up, so I will stand away. Why do I need the shield of faith? Why do I need it? Well, I need it because there is a foe out there that's battling us. if we look back at the text, he says, what do? We have this shield of faith wherewith we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And maybe that your version might say of the wicked one or of the evil one. That may be the way your version would read. But the point is that there is one who is evil, one who is wicked, who is out there trying to do us in. It is not just some philosophy. It's not just some teaching, some idea that's out there, but it is actually something, and there are actually these temptations, these things that are being hurled at us that are trying to take us away from God. We don't need to just think it's one little thing, but it's every way in which Satan can devour us, any way that Satan can take us away, any way Satan can remove us from God, he wants to do that. And so he's saying we need to have the shield of faith because our Satan is out there. He's our adversary. As Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he's our roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to devour us. But as we think about this shield of faith here, I want you to notice that when you look at the shield of faith, as we talked about the whole Christian army and we read through that, did you notice that it was only the shield of faith that he really gave the reason for the use of? You know, when he talks about having your loins girded about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness, he doesn't really give a reason for why any of these things necessarily are to be worn. But when he comes to the shield of faith, he gives us the reason. He says, because this is what we're going to quench, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I think it's important that we understand these fiery darts. When we think about the fiery darts, Paul is picturing here these flaming arrows, the temptations, these pointed projectiles that would be known in their time, that they would be shot and they would have fire on the end of them. They would be hurled and shot into various places where there might be people gathered into homes or whatever the case may be. And what it would do is it cause fire to burn things up, to cause chaos in a group of people. You think about even in our day and time, if you took some kind of a fire projectile and shot it into a group of people sitting in a football stadium somewhere, how that would create chaos. Well, that's kind of what the picture is here. These flaming arrows are coming. They're coming and they understand the picture that he's pointing. He says that's what we have. We have these fiery darts of the wicked. Well, what are the fiery darts? Well, these javelin-type weapons that are causing panic and chaos are temptations. They're moments of selfishness. They're moments of doubt, lust, greed, pride, things that will take us away from God. And it's those things that are hurled at us that we need to be sure we quench out, that they are extinguished. The shield of faith, as you look at this shield that they are putting on, and you think about it, and I've read about some of these things, I think it's interesting that we understand that the temptations are real and they are there. Sometimes we don't maybe think about how they're hurled at us. We have temptations hurled at us through the media. Just turn your TV on. And just, if you leave it on a channel, just watch for a minute. It won't be long till you'll see something on there that is hurling at you to cause you to change a philosophy. To change your thinking, to change what you believe to be right or wrong. They're trying to sell you on all kinds of things. And normally what they're trying to sell you on is something not good. So many times. You go and you watch the news and you watch the people and you watch what they talk about. You watch what they protest about. You look at those things and you see this thing. You see it hurled at us day in and day out. You see newspaper articles. You just whatever it is. It is before us. You see the internet. You see the things that pop up on your screens. As you're sitting there and you're on the internet, you're doing your business, and all of a sudden this pop-up comes on. And it's causing you to have to make a decision. Oh, I've got to get rid of that. I'm not going to do that. But you have to stop. And so we have to have this shield of faith to quench those things when they come. I think it's interesting. When I read this and I read about this shield of faith,
that he says you need to put on the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. He doesn't say we need to get out here and we need to stop the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, I believe that many times Christians get very concerned, and I am concerned about this, don't get me wrong. But we get very concerned about the society in which we live, and we want to stop those fiery darts from ever being shot. And you know, if I could live in a time and an age and a place where those fiery darts were not shot, I would love that. But you know what? He doesn't say focus on stopping the fiery darts. He says focus on protecting your faith. Maybe we don't do that enough. He's saying prepare and go to battle against the wicked. Go out there and fight the battle with truth. Go out there and fight the battle with righteousness. That's what you're preparing yourself for. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. That's what you've got. Go out there and do battle. We don't like battle. So we say, well, let's go out here and protest. Let's go out here and stop the lottery. Let's go out here and stop the sale of alcohol. You know, growing up, we lived in Russellville, Alabama, as I was a child. And where we lived, you had to drive from Russellville all the way to the state line, Tennessee state line, to legally buy alcohol. That was about 60 miles. If you went south, you had to go all the way down to Tuscaloosa, which is a lot further than 60 miles. Because Lauderdale County didn't have alcohol, Colbert County didn't have alcohol, Franklin County didn't have alcohol, Marion County didn't have alcohol, Winston County didn't have alcohol, Lawrence County didn't have alcohol, Morgan County didn't have alcohol, Limestone County didn't have alcohol. And so, but then you would go to, and Madison County was different. They had alcohol. And you know what? We sit there and we say, we need to stop all this. And you know what I've watched over the years, they just have continued to gain more and more ground. And what I'm afraid we have done, I have watched people do this over time, and I'm afraid we have lost the battle with many of our disciples. We're fighting the battle trying to stop that from coming in, but sometimes we're not preparing ourselves with a shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and we're fighting that, and we're not saying, this is why we don't do that. Because it is wrong. We're not going out and engaging the enemy in the battle that is out there. We're standing back and saying, don't do it. Do y'all see what I'm saying? I'm afraid that that may be why the church and the disciples of Christ are not being as effective as they ought to be against ungodliness and unrighteousness. It's because we don't go to battle. Now, I'm going to tell you, I like things to be peaceful. I don't want to battle. But you know what? There comes a time you have to stand for what's right. You have to stand for truth. And you know what? He says, here are what we're going to do. We're going to fight the battle. We're going to fight the battle with the shield of faith, and it's going to protect you from the fiery darts of the wicked. That's a shield that you have on. It mentions this idea of quenching the fiery darts of the wicked. And the Roman army, what they would do is they'd take this shield of faith. The shield of faith would be these pieces of plywood glued together. It'd be covered with some metal, iron, things around it to decorate it, I guess, or hold it together, that kind of thing. But really, a lot of it would be this idea of leather covering as well. It would be covered with this leather. You have this metal, the iron, and covered with this leather that they would then have soaked in water. So when these projectiles that are flaming coming in would hit the armament, the shield, that those projectiles would be extinguished. They would not catch fire. They would not do the damage. And he says, that's what this shield of faith is going to do. When these temptations come, this shield of faith is going to do what? It's going to extinguish those fiery darts of the wicked. Maybe that's what Paul has in mind when he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, when he says there's no temptation taking you such as common to man, but God will with a temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. Maybe that's the idea Paul has in mind there, is that you're going to be able in battling this temptation that comes to you, you're going to have this shield of faith that you're going to be able to overcome. You're going to overcome. You're going to defeat that temptation. That's the promise that he makes there. That is available to you. But put on, above all, put on the shield of faith. That's why I need the shield of faith. But then we need to talk about what is the shield of faith. Well, the shield of faith is belief in God. Let's turn our Bibles back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And let's just get the idea of what faith is. The shield of faith is, that shield is composed of faith. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 11, but without faith it is impossible to please God, or to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you see the point that the Hebrew writer is making here? He says faith is this thing that we have evidence for. We have evidence and who God is and what God is able to do. But also what he said it is a belief in God. It's a belief in God. You know what I think here that we need to understand? There are three aspects to faith. There are three aspects to our faith. And when we think about this, we need to understand it is about belief. It is about believing God, believing who God is. Hebrews, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Why do we walk by faith in God? Because God, we believe, is. And so when God says something, we do it. We don't question what God says. We don't sit there and say, well, I just don't know if that's really right or not. No, when I go to God's Word and I'm looking at that and I'm reading it and I say, that's what God's Word says. I say, that's what God has said about the subject. I don't have to sit there and question whether or not that's really what God means or not. I know what He means. He's just told me. So when I'm fighting the battle of some ungodly temptation that's being hurled at me, then I'm sitting here, I'm saying, the Bible says, flee fornication. God does not approve of fornication. I can't participate in fornication. God says that those who are drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what it says. God does not approve of drunkenness. So what am I going to do? Well, with a shield of faith, I'm going to say, God said that. And I'm not going to question whether God really meant that or not. Because I walk by faith, not by sight. As 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, and why do I do that? Because I understand faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And so then I believe what God has said, and it is based upon the historical evidence of what God has said and what God has done. And I could go back, and we're not going to tonight, but we can go back to the Old Testament, and we can look at prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy from God's word and how prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ alone and others. But we know that. And because we know that, we have historical evidence that what God says comes to be. And then because of that, and because of my belief in God, then it is going to make a change in my life. That's the third aspect of faith. There, you're going to believe in God. You're going to have historical evidence that backs it up. And the third thing you're going to have is you're going to have a change in your life. There's going to be some change in your action because of what God has said and your faith in that. That's what James chapter 2 is all about. Here's a man who says, I have faith, but I have not works. He says, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith is dead when it is alone, James says. Abraham believed God. He obeyed God. He did works of righteousness. His life changed because of his faith in God. And so that's what we do. So that's the shield of faith. It is this idea of having faith in God. Our faith rests entirely upon Scripture, upon what God has said for us to do. And we make consistent application of what we believe about God and the issues of life day in and day out. I'm going to battle with the shield of faith, and everything I do goes through the shield of faith and my faith in God. So how do I live? How do I conduct myself to my neighbor? How do I treat the person that I'm selling something to, or I'm buying something from, or I'm doing work for, or you just keep going down the list. How do I conduct myself in that regard? I conduct myself by what God's word says. When somebody says, well, you know, David, you don't have to work nearly that hard. You know, they're not really around here looking at you right now. You can sit over here and wait till they come out. Then get up and look like you're real busy. Maybe they'll get us some more help out here. Maybe that's, those pencils, they're there for the taking. Those pads, you know, they buy those things by the truckload. Just take whatever you need home, use them for your grocery list. Nobody's going to ever miss pencils and paper and pads. But you know what God says about those who steal. And you filter that through that shield of faith. And that temptation is there. And you say, no. I can't do that. I can't do that. And you stand and you fight that battle. So finally, we come to ask, and that is, how do I take the shield of faith then? How do I take the shield of faith? Well, I want to tell you, there are three keys to getting for the shield of faith. The first thing is you need to get into God's word. You need to get into God's word. We said a while ago, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If I'm going to have faith and I'm going to have this shield of faith, I need to get into that. And how am I going to? I'm going to get into God's word, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to study it. It's not going to be a haphazard thing. I'm not going to read it when times are bad, and when times are good, I'm going to lay a little bit on the side and say, don't worry about it. Things are good right now. I don't need the Bible. No, Bible is something that comes first. It's always going to be there. And we read it. We study it. We meditate upon it. We memorize things from Scripture. And this is the first step. We get into God's Word. But the second thing we do is that we get God's Word into me. It's one thing to get into God's Word, but then I've got to get God's Word into me. Y'all understand the difference? I believe there are a lot of people who get into God's Word. They like to study about God. They like to study things about God. They like to study different things. They like to discuss it. They maybe like to discuss it, maybe argue about it, throw out all these different ideas. But when they're doing that, they're not really getting God's Word in their life. But this is taking God's word. They're reading, they're meditating, they're studying, they're memorizing. But then they do that, and in doing that, then they get it into them. It makes a difference in them. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And notice with me what John says about the things that he has written. John promises us some good insight and how we need to take up the shield of faith here, I believe. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, he says, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And I write unto you young men because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because ye have known the Father. Verse 14, I have written unto you fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you. And ye have overcome. overcome the wicked one. He says, what do you do? I've written unto you. All of you. What? Young fathers. All of you. I've written unto you. What? And because of this, you are strong. You remember those that Peter talks about who are not ready for the strong meat? They're babes. Why? Because they don't know the, they don't know anything but the milk of the word. They're not ready. But here he says, you're strong. Because the word of God abides. The key word there is abides. If you're writing your Bible, underline that word, abides. It abides, it lives, it remains. It dwells with you. It dwells with you. I will give you the illustration from Scripture about this. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is there. He's in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. He's fasted. And Satan comes to him and tempts him. And he says, command that these stones be made bread. How does Jesus answer him? He says, it is written. Satan says, cast yourself down off the pinnacle of the temple. Because he has said he'll not allow you to be hurt. Quoting Scripture to Jesus. Again, Jesus comes back and says, well, there's a misuse of that Scripture. He says, it is written. He says, if you'll fall down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. Jesus answers him again, it is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You see, God's word abided in him. When we get God's word abiding in us, God's word is in me. I'm into God's word, and God's word is in me. And it's a thing that works constantly. I'm back and forth. And then it brings us to the third point, and that is that when I want to put on this shield of faith, I need to participate in the body. We're not out here just on a warfare all by ourselves. We're out here with everybody with us, and we need to participate in the body. I want to notice with you quickly, before our time is gone, this picture right here. I don't know if any of you noticed, I showed you the shield a while ago. But if you look at this, this is a testudo, if I understood that, saying the word right, testudo formation. It's a Roman formation where they would put all these people together and they have the shields around them. They have people on the front putting the shields on the front. You have people on the side, they got their shields on the side. They've got people that have shields carrying them from the top that are in the middle. You've got people that are on the back, have their shields to the back. And they're all going together in this battle. They're protected from every side in the body. That's what the shield of faith is. Oh, will it protect us alone? Yeah, it'll protect us along the way. We have that shield to protect. But then together, all of us working together, all of us fighting this battle together, it's not just a battle for just me. It's not just a battle just for you. It's not just a battle for two of us. No, it's a battle for all of us. And when we're to participate in the body, it covers us in all directions. That is, I believe, why the Hebrew writer, when he's writing to these Christians, and the one thing the Hebrew writer is concerned about is these Christians throwing aside their confidence, their faith, their salvation. And in Hebrews chapter 10, he talks about something that I think is very important. And I think it points this idea of being in this warfare and being in this warfare and participating in the body. Look with me in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 10. He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful and promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. and so much more as you see the day approaching. Profession of our hope. Profession that Jesus Christ died for us that we might live. He said we need to participate in the body. We're in a war, and we need everybody engaged with us. Why do we need the shield? Because we're in battle. What is a shield? It's our faith, our trust in God. It comes from God's word. And we need to take hold of that shield of faith and go to battle and fight the battle for the Lord. Remember, the battle is not mine. As David said, the battle is the Lord's. And let us do our work in fighting his battle. Maybe that you're here tonight, you're not a member of the body of Christ tonight, I would encourage you to think about your soul's condition. Maybe you have never thought about the fact that if you died right now, that you would be called into account for everything you've done in your life. And maybe the things you've done in your life are not things you should have done. Maybe you've not done things you should have done. Either way, you're outside the body of Christ. You're outside of that relationship with Jesus Christ that would allow him to say unto you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If tonight that's where you find yourself, we would encourage you to come repenting of your sins, to confess those things, to be buried with him in baptism, to take whatever action needs to be taken tonight to make you ready to go to battle, to fight with the Lord. If we can assist you tonight in any way, let us know how we can help you. While we stand and sing, won't you come?